to speak to you today on the one word, choices. Choices. I was reading a while back in the Bible, and I was reading an account of someone who did something very dumb and stupid and sinful. And I thought to myself while I was reading it, well, that was a dumb choice. That was a bad, bad choice. And we have a lot of choices to make in life, don't we? I mean, we do. We make them all the time. Now, some of you made some choices this morning. You made the choice to come to church. I'm glad you did. I wouldn't have anybody to preach to. So I'm glad you're here. You made that choice. Now, some of them didn't. They chose to stay in bed. And they didn't get their clock set. Didn't even, the extra hour didn't even help them. But we have choices that we make all through life. Every day we make some choices. I want you to turn in the Bible, if you will, to Numbers chapter 30, if you will. Or Deuteronomy, I'm sorry. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I just want to read a few verses here that the challenge is that they choose to serve God, the Israelites. And let's begin with verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. The scripture says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." I've given you a choice, some choices. "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." Verse 19, an important verse in this particular chapter. He said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death," choices, "blessing and cursing," choices. "Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto thee." Verse 19 again, "I call heaven and earth to record to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life." It's a matter of choice. And choices can be made wrong. God gave us volition. That's something unique about God and his relationship with his beings. As a matter of fact, he gave the archangel Lucifer volition. He gave him choice. And what did he do? He chose the wrong thing, and God kicked him out of heaven and a third of the angels, who probably are the demons today. And we have someone who is our enemy called the devil, and he was cast out of heaven, and that's who he is now. Why? Because he made one wrong choice. He thought he could rise up above God. Nobody rises up above God. And that was a bad choice on his part. Well, I always go back and think of Adam and Eve. God gave them choice. I don't know why he didn't just make us robots that would obey him and do everything he wanted us to do, except God is love and God wants to be loved back, and he wants it to be our choice to serve him and to live for him. And so he gave Adam and Eve choice in the Garden of Eden. That was God's choice to give them choice, and they blew it, didn't they? The reason you've got a headache this morning, if you have one, is because of Adam and Eve. The reason you have problems in your life today goes back to Adam and Eve. And some people say, I don't know why we have all the trouble in the world and all these things. A whole lot of it goes right back to Adam and Eve making the wrong choice. Eve made it, and then Adam made it, and then cast us into the condemnation of sin. That's why we're all sinners today, because Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. I don't know if I'll ever forgive them for that. But at any rate, we have some other cases in the Bible. Lot's wife made a wrong choice. God said, y'all get out of there. I'm going to destroy it. And don't look back. And she had to be stubborn. And she turned and looked back. One wrong choice. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Because she made that one simple wrong choice of disobeying God. And that was a bad scene. Left her husband without a wife and her children without a mother, all because she made the wrong choice. Moses and Aaron made wrong choices. There was a time when Moses made a wrong choice, and God had spoken to him, and he said, you speak to the rock so the water will come out of the rock. Well, Moses, being stubborn like a lot of Baptists, said, no, I'm going to do it my way. And he took the rod and struck the rock two times. And Aaron was involved with him. Evidently, he must have encouraged him as the priest. They were together. And they made the wrong choice. And they had to pay the price. And that's the reason Moses didn't get to go over in the land of Canaan. God said, because you disobeyed me this one time, as great as he was, all the good things he did, because you disobeyed me this one time, made this wrong choice, you cannot go over into the land of Canaan. And he took him out a different way. And then Aaron was stripped on Mount Hor of his raiment, his priestly garb, and his son got his garb, and he became the priest, and he died on Mount Hor because he made one wrong choice. Just one choice, as great a man as he was. Achan, on one occasion, you know the story of Achan. Most of you would know that story, and they had won the battle, and they had the booty of all of the goods that they got from the enemies. And God had told them through his leader, don't take any of that money, that gold, that silver, or the Babylonian garments. Don't take any of that. Who said? God said. What else do you need to know when God says it? And he said, God said, and that's what he told him to do. But no, Achan had to make a wrong choice, and his family was in it with him, I suppose. Nevertheless, they suffered, but he chose to take the Babylonian garment and the silver and the wedge of gold and put it in his tent. And they were having problems and couldn't win a battle. And so he was called on the carpet, and he was the one that had made the wrong choice. And he said, I've made the wrong choice. Now, wrong choices have results, every one of these. What happened to him? God called them out, and God killed all of them, the husband, the wife, and the children, and burned up the tent that they lived in. A very radical thing, we would say, but it was simply because Achan didn't do what God said. He made a wrong choice, and it cost him greatly because of his choice. We also know about Saul. Saul made an offering, a sacrifice, and the Philistines were coming, and he said, I can't wait on Samuel the prophet. He's supposed to come and make the sacrifice, and nobody else was supposed to. That was the law of God, and he usurped his authority and said, I'm going to offer a sacrifice. And that was wrong. And because of that, he violated God's will. And God said to him, you're not going to be king of Israel very long because you made a wrong choice. All of us know the story of David and Bathsheba, I would imagine. And David made a wrong choice. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he had her husband Uriah killed. And he made a terrible choice, a wrong choice, just one choice. When he made that choice, he was asking for a lot of trouble. And what are the results of it? Because of that adulterous relationship, God took his child. And then later, Tamar was molested by a half-brother And Absalom rebelled against David. And all of that can be traced back to one thing, one wrong choice that David made. And boy, did he ever pay for it. Now, he confessed his sin and got it right with God. But let me tell you something. Even though we confess our sins, listen to me now, there are always scars and there are always consequences to our sins. Always. Will God forgive you? Yes. But I'm telling you, the scars many times are going to be there depending on what the sin really was. And so these were some of the things that happened because he violated that. We know the story of Samson. He disobeyed his parents. By the way, young people, you're supposed to obey your parents. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is good. This is right. This is God's will. And you're supposed to obey your parents. Well, he didn't do a very good job of that. He disobeyed them. And then finally he met Delilah. A number of other problems took place, but he got a haircut, as some have said, in the devil's barbershop. He lost a lot of things. It cost him his strength. May I remind you that sin always saps our strength. Always. And he lost his fellowship with God. The Lord departed from him, the Scripture says. He lost his discernment because the Scripture says he didn't know the Lord had departed from him. There are a lot of Christians that get so out of the fellowship with God and make wrong choices, they don't even hardly realize that they're out of fellowship with God. They just cruise on in their situation where they are living in sin. And it affected his sight. You see, one of his problems was lust of the eyes, and he lost both of his eyes. He was humiliated because of that. Matthew Henry said the best preservative for the eyes is to turn them away from beholding vanity. Turn them away. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It cost him his honor. It brought him down to Gaza. Gaza was where he had the great victories. Now, there he is grinding with a millstone, and that was the worst kind of work that the lowest slave in that economy would be assigned to. And there he was, humiliated because he made the wrong choice. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his comfort. Many other things that it cost him. Now, these are examples of some, what we would call pretty good people. But there are some examples of the wicked. Pharaoh refused to do what God said. And what did God do to Pharaoh? He wiped him out and all of his army. Because he was too proud to bow down to God. Are you too proud to bow down to God, friend? You need to bow down to God, and that's the only way you're going to be saved, is to bow down to God in God's will, in God's way of salvation. And so Pharaoh didn't do what God said, and King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 7, he was warned by the prophet Daniel, but he wouldn't listen. What happened to him? You can read about it in Daniel 4:33. He lived with the animals. He had long fingernails. His hair grew real long. He could have been a singer in a Christian rock band. But he was in a mess. And he really had to pay a price because he made a wrong choice. Ahab, the seventh king of the northern kingdom. Ahab married Jezebel. That's as bad as some other people I know marrying other people. I won't call their names, but anyway. And he had to have Naboth's vineyard. And he cried and wept and pouted. And so she got Naboth's vineyard for him. The results were, God said through the prophet, the dogs are going to lick your blood up. And that's exactly what happened to him. He was killed in battle, went back in, and the dogs came where the chariots were, where they washed the blood off, and they licked up the blood just like God said, because he made a wrong choice. But I'm glad there's some good choices in the Bible, too. Noah made a good choice, didn't he? He listened to God. He'd never seen it rain. He didn't know about all that. But God said it's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. Well, Lord, explain to me what a flood is. Well, there's going to be water all over the earth. And so he made a right choice. He did what God said. He started building the ark, got the ark built, got his wife in there, and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives in the ark. And the good that came out of that, they were protected during the flood. They were saved during what would represent the judgment of God. I love, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Joseph. Joseph made the right choices. He had an opportunity to be intimate with his boss's wife and No doubt she was a very beautiful woman, very enticing. But he made the choice to say, I cannot hurt my boss who's been so good to me, and I can't sin against my God. And he chose not to do that. Did it pay off? Oh, yeah. He became the second person in the whole kingdom. God honored that. And you know many of the stories that go with what happened with Joseph. And I just remind you that we are responsible for our decisions. Bad or good, we are responsible for our decisions. The Apostle Paul made a great decision one day on the road to Damascus. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's the greatest decision anybody can make. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, waste material, that I may win Christ. Paul said, I'm glad I got saved, and I've laid my life down for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good, isn't it? But now, what about you? What about you and your choices? We make a lot of wrong choices if we're not careful. As I said, children, you need to obey your parents. That's a good choice. Do what is right. But then we run into some other problems. And I feel for our young people today, for all the things that they have to put up with and all the things that are available to them. But they have to make choices. It's just the way it is. And if they're saved and they're Christians and really born again, they're going to do their best to make the right choices. You have to make choices about drugs. Alcohol, somebody said, well, I drink alcohol, but it's not a drug. Oh, it is a drug. Alcohol is a drug. And somewhere along the way, everybody who's ever tasted of it, somebody walked up to them and said, hey, taste of this. Have a drink of beer with me. Have a little wine with me or a little champagne with me. Have a taste of this. Try it. You might like it. But I can tell you there have been horrible, horrible stories. Terrible, terrible things that have happened because of that. Alcohol is a damnable thing. And you say, well, I just drink a beer once in a while and I'm not an alcoholic. Well, why don't you just quit and prove that you're not an alcoholic? If you're not an alcoholic, you can quit, can't you? But besides all of that, it hurts your testimony. It hurts the cause of Christ, because Christ has given us certain admonitions about that. We ought to obey those things. Somebody offers it to you. I'll tell you a story about a lady whose brother was a preacher in Virginia. And a friend of mine, she called and talked to us, and she said, I need to go to Lester Roloff's home. It was in Culloden, Georgia, for women. And she said, I'm a terrible alcoholic. She said, the last thing I did was drink Old Spice. That's all I could get a hold of, my husband's Old Spice, and I drank Old Spice. And she said, I'm in a terrible condition. We went to her home, an apartment, and we met her. She was still living with her husband. We met her. She had a red Schofield Bible. And in that Schofield Bible in the front, she had about 30 or 35 names of people she personally had led to Jesus Christ. She had their names there. And we inquired and said, how in the world did this happen? How could you, a Christian who knows the Bible, your brother's a preacher, what happened? She said, well, I had some physical problems, and my husband said he was a DJ in a radio station around there. That might have been her first wrong choice, to marry somebody that wasn't saved. But he told her to drink a little jigger of whiskey every night. It would relax her and she could go to sleep. And she started doing that. And then one thing led to another, to another, and to another, until she became an alcoholic. And that's the way it starts, my friend. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. It'll catch up with you. And you're playing with a rattlesnake and fire when you do that. And you need to just leave it alone. Then there's the problem with marijuana. I don't know if I'll ever go to Colorado again. I'd just soon not to go there. They tell me the people coming out of Colorado, they arrest them at the border because they're coming out with cannabis and they're coming out with marijuana. Marijuana is one of the chief problems that young people are having today. I just looked up the statistics on it, and through a national organization, and this is one of the greatest problems. And you can choose to touch it and choose to fool with it, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to bite you in the end. Leave it alone. Listen to the testimonies of those who are dope addicts and drug addicts today who got started just that way in casual marijuana smoking. You have a choice. I'd advise you don't do it. Another problem is K2, or spice is the nickname of it. It's an herb mixture, and it's sort of called synthetic marijuana. And then they get involved with that. One of the greatest problems in our society today is the prescription drugs and across-the-counter drugs. And I'm not going to tell you what you can do with the cough medicine across the counter, because I don't want anybody in here, any young people, to learn what to do. But it's a terrible thing what they're doing with it, and they're doing it. And they also use opioid painkillers. These are stimulants and depressants and hydrocodone, Vicodin it's called, Oxycontin, and morphine, and fentanyl. Those things are out there. They're the drugs that are being used. Now, if your doctor tells you that you have to have that, there's some medical reason. I'm not talking necessarily about that. I'm saying that these are things that the young people and others and some adults are using. They're hooked. They get on that because they made a wrong choice to start using these to make them feel good and to lift them up and to make them feel successful. I want to tell you, it's wrong. Opioids, stimulants, Ritalin. There are some cases perhaps where that is needed, but some use it for the wrong reason. Depressants, to promote sleep and reduce anxiety. Tranquilizers. And syrup, a nickname is called Sizrup, I believe is the way they pronounce it. Mixing some things to get a high. Let me tell you something. You have choices of that. Choose to not fool with it. And if you are doing it right now, stop it. And if you say, well, preacher, I've tried, but I just can't do it. And the problem may be that you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's a matter, not a matter that you can't. It's a matter that you're not willing to. It's a choice that you make. And then there are sexual choices that are made. Some choose, and a lot of our society today are choosing to live in premarital cohabitation. It is called fornication in the Word of God. It comes, as you've heard, from the word porneia, the Greek word, and all of that. But it is fornication. It is sin. Look it up in the Bible. Read about it, what it really is. And they say, well, we're going to try a trial marriage, and we're going to see how it works, and if we can live together, and that type thing. Friend, that's not a covenant before God. That's foolishness before God. God will not bless that. And that is a sin before Almighty God. They prove that those who cohabit together and don't get married, and they just decide to live together, they just want to live together, that 2/3 of their children see them break up in that relationship to break up by the time those children are 12. Isn't that a sad thing? That it's sort of a rule of thumb and a standard that by the time they're 12, if they are living in that kind of situation, they break up. What does that do to those children that are living in that situation? I promise you it doesn't help them. And I promise you it hurts them. We have sexual choices to make. Then there's the extramarital choice of adultery. Fornication is a lot of different things, but it certainly is premarital. But then there's adultery. And by the way, men, let me put it very strong, as the Bible says, that if a man look upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery in his heart. That's how serious it is. It's one thing to be tempted, and it's another thing to notice a pretty woman or maybe a woman, a handsome man or whatever the situation. You know, muscle men like Brother Johnson and I, guys like that, that's all right, but when you say, if I have a chance, I'm going to get involved in that thing. If I have a chance, I'm going to get with her, I'm going to get with him. and we're going to have intimacy. My friend, you've gone too far in your mind, and it's already in your heart, and God says you've committed adultery. And yet there are Christians, so-called, that are involved in that. And then there's pornography. You have a choice about pornography. You see, you can choose what comes in on your television. Now, I'll plow real straight here. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to have HBO and Showbiz or whatever, Showtime, and all the other in my home. They're not going to pipe that filth in my house. You say, well, I'm just going to watch the cowboy shows and that kind of thing. Friend, you can get a cowboy show another way. You don't have to pipe filth in your house to get it. Fornication and adultery and pornography, movies, the internet, magazines, on and on and on. And I promise you, I guarantee you, there's some men in this building and some women with other relationships that are having problems with that. I promise you, I would be shocked to know it. You say, how come you think you know it? Because I've been pastoring a long time. And I cease to be surprised at what happens and who's involved in it. There are moral issues. We have a right to make the choice about those. The choice of, do I abort my baby or do I not abort my baby? Let me tell you, that baby is a living person in the womb. And God, David said, God created me in the womb wonderfully. I was wonderfully and gloriously made. I don't care if it's a result of molestation. I don't care what it is. That is a creation that God allowed in the womb. And abortion is murder. According to the scripture, it is murder. Let me tell you about a lady that made a right choice. I got to hurry. Her name was Rosie Kalkoff. She called me one day when I was pastoring in Indiana. She was just bawling and squalling and crying. She said, I just came out of the doctor's office. I had my checkup. And she was a little bit older to be having a baby, a little older than normal. And she said, the doctor said to me, you must have an abortion. We've done the deal on it, the scan and everything, and you got to have an abortion. That baby will be crippled, never live probably. And she said, Pastor, what do I do? I said, you don't have an abortion. You let God handle that. I need more amens than that. Don't be scared of the truth, folks. I said, don't have it. Let God take care of it. And so she didn't have the abortion. And I wish you could see her grown son right now. He was probably one of the healthiest boys in my church in Indiana that I ever saw. He was almost too healthy. But she made the right choice, didn't she? She didn't have that guilt. And I thank God that if you have made the wrong choice, God will forgive you. I thank God for that. And some in here probably have made that wrong choice. But you can make the right choice. And the right choice in marriage. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. If you're saved, and this is very controversial. I preached on this one time and somebody left the church. Well, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. What does that mean? Well, it means that you ought to marry somebody. If you're saved, you ought to marry somebody that is saved. In fact, I go a step further than that. You ought to marry somebody that thinks about Bible doctrine like you do. Somebody that is a good old King James Bible lover and believes in the doctrines of the faith. And you'll say, hey, we're compatible in those areas. And those are the greatest areas. And a lot of times, girls choose guy because he's got money, because he's real handsome, because he's going to get a good education, and they think he's going to really take care of them materially, and they hadn't been in the marriage very long until they realized, boy, I've made a mistake. I'm married for the wrong reason. And there are guys who marry because, oh, she's a knockout. She's beautiful. And her daddy has money, you know. And all of those things. Somebody said amen. And all of those things. But let me tell you something. You better marry and be equally yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:15, What concord hath Christ with Belial, or the devil, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The word concord there, what concord, we would say in our English word, what symphony. What symphony? Concord. And the idea would be that the players are reading the same score and following the boss, who is the director, in order to have a symphony, because they're together on the same score and the same notes and all of that. And notice that he said, ye, it's not just for the individual. When he talks about it in verse 16, he says, ye. And he's talking about, I believe, the whole church, the local church. Not only in marriage, but also in business. Don't go in business with somebody that's unsaved. It'll be a mistake. How can you work together when one's saved and one's lost? It's a mistake to go into business if you're a Christian with an unsaved person. Man or woman, it's a mistake. And so with the local church, we have no business running around with, participating in, supporting, and being involved in some kind of liberal movement that doesn't honor the Word of God, the virgin birth of Christ, the infallibility of the Scripture, the second coming of Jesus Christ being literal, and a number of other things. What fellowship have we with them? None. I chose a long time ago to run around with people like-minded and people who preach the Word of God and that type thing. I know the girls will say, well, I'm going to marry him and change him. Boy, I've heard that before. He's unsaved, but he's good looking. He's got money. I'm going to marry him, and I will change him. I don't believe in luck, but good luck. H.A. Ironside, I found an illustration when I was studying, preparing this message, and he was talking about two little boys that went out and found what they call in that day linnets or finches. They were young finches, and they brought them in to the house. And in the house, they had in the house a canary that could sing and had a great melodies when it would sing. And so they brought those two finches in there, and they placed one on one side and one on the other. And mother said, what are you going to do? They said, well, they're young, and it won't be long until they'll be singing like the canary. They're going to change the canary. I mean, change the finches, rather. And so here they come in a few days, and guess what? The canary is chirping, and the finches aren't singing like the canary. And that's really what happens. And so they had to finally cover up the canary a while, and then finally took it out in the sunshine. The canary got its song back. But I'm telling you, you need to marry somebody that is of like faith. And then there's a choice about eternity, and we'll close with this. When Jesus was crucified, there were two there with him, two malefactors, one on one side and one on the other. And one of them made the wrong choice, and one of them made the right choice. Luke 23:42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I think he was saying in a different way, I receive you as my Savior. You're the Savior, you're the Redeemer. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The other guy said, well, why, if he isn't God, why didn't he just take us all down off of this cross? In other words, he was saying, I don't believe he's God. I don't believe he's who he says he is. That one died and went to hell. But the other one, Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I'm glad when I was 9 years of age, I made that choice, the right choice. Some of you hadn't made that choice, and I want to encourage you today to make the right choice. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of you have failed God in the past, and you know you have. You made some wrong choices. You need to accept God's forgiveness and ask Him to forgive you for those things. Maybe today at an old-fashioned altar to come. And you may have some things in your life right now. And I'm sure in a congregation this large, there are some people here that you know, and God knows there are things in your life that don't belong there. You need to make the choice today to repent, to confess it to God, and make it right with God. Whatever it may be, the right choice to do that. And that's an important thing in your life. And your future is determined by the choices you make. And my friend, if you're here without Christ, let me tell you, if you don't know you're going to heaven, what in the world could be more important than that? What could be more important than knowing you're going to heaven? Because you might die today. You say, oh, praise you, I'm not going to die today. Well, you want to guarantee me that? Probably you won't. Might be tomorrow. It might be next week. Let me tell you about a man that I preached to in a congregation like this on a Sunday morning. I had witnessed to him in his home. He was under conviction. His knuckles were white. He was holding on to the back of the pew. And I wanted him to come, and I extended one more verse, hoping he would come, and he wouldn't. He left out of that congregation as fast as he could go. On Tuesday morning, his wife called me and said, "Preacher, I need you." She called his name and said he was just killed on the way to work. He was going by the state trooper's barracks, and there was a big old tower there and a guide wire. And he ran off the road and hit that guide wire and flipped his car, and he went out into eternity. I want to tell you, my friend, that didn't make me happy. I don't know. He may have gotten saved. I doubt it. But I want to tell you, you need to make the choice, and you need to make it today. As Dr. Barber, I believe, said earlier, now's the day of salvation. Today is accepted time. Why? It's the only time you are guaranteed is right now. Right now. I've actually had people, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I've actually had people die in the service when I was preaching. You see, you just don't ever know. But let me tell you something. You can make the right choice and ask Christ to come into your heart. And hallelujah, He'll cover up all of your sins. His blood will wash away every bad choice you've ever made, every sin you've ever committed. He'll wash it totally away. And you can be as clean as the pure snow by trusting Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. And our invitation is, if you're not saved, please step out and come. We have workers who will not embarrass you, who will take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Make that choice today. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, make that choice. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one leaving or looking around unless it's an emergency or you have a job description you have to go to. But let me tell you, no one looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you would say, Brother Weaver, I know, according to the Scripture, if I died today, I have no doubt about it, I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. Gladly you testify to that, wherever you are. All right, thank you. May put them down. And in any crowd this size, there are going to be people who could not lift your hand. Friend, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He says, if you'll come to Him and trust Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll believe He died for you and ask Him to forgive you, trust Him as your Savior today, He'll save you immediately, instantly. We want you to come. Christians, what's God said to you today? Do what He said to do. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. It'd be a good day to make a choice for a good church home, a good Bible-believing church home. Others are already coming, and I invite you to come. We'll have prayer. We'll have our song. Father, may Your will be done. Oh, God, there's some precious souls, some precious, wonderful people here who've never been saved. They could not lift their hand to say that they know, that they knew that they were saved. I pray they'd come. There are some Christians here that need to have forgiveness and need to come and confess. There are others who need to come and make things right with You. Our choices, oh God, how important. And help us to choose the right things today. In Jesus' name, amen.